visitors and home folks alike. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 2. We'll read about five or six verses here. Kind of in the middle of the chapter, verse 21. 1 John 2, verse 21. I have in my Bible the spiritual tests of 1 John, kind of numbered, and this is number five that I've found so far. I think there might be 11 or 12, maybe even 13 tests that John says if you are questioning or if you are wanting to know, then this is what's happening. This is what you can look for. So this is number five. 1 John 2, verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. The title of the message is taken out of verse 21. No lie is of the truth. I don't know how many of you recognize this statement. This was given about a year and a half ago by a National Public Radio CEO. And this is the quote she made. It was a lady. It says, perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. Any of you know the lady's name that said this? I'm glad you don't. Catherine Mayer said this. And she was giving a speech, and I don't know the background of this speech. But she said, basically what she's saying is, if I understand her right, that, let's read it again. That perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. I guess my question is, where would you start if you wouldn't start with the truth? Where would you start? In fact, this is continuing her thought, in fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. Again, I would like to say, if you don't start with the truth, where do you start? In light of the scripture, this statement is very wrong. Very wrong. Never can a child of God use untruth or lies to get to the bottom of an issue or to find common ground. It just will not work. You know, when we take truth completely out of the equation, when there's no truth anywhere, we have nothing solid to stand on. You ever think of where we would be if there would be no truth? I mean, what you say is right, what I say is wrong, right, and the next guy is right. We have 25 different opinions, and we're all right, and we're all opposing each other. Where do we go from here? Who is right? Taking truth out of the equation gives us nothing solid to look to stand on. Our foundation becomes fluid. It's shifting constantly. It's a moving target based on our faulty human reasoning that seems right at the time. This morning, truth is embodied in the person Jesus Christ. Pilate asked Jesus the question, "What is truth?" How did Jesus answer that question? Anyone? How did Jesus answer it? I'm not talking necessarily there in John 18:38, where Pilate asked the question and then Jesus answered him. I'm not necessarily talking about that particular, but how did Jesus answer Pilate's broad question, "What is truth?" Anyone? "I am the truth, the way, and the life." Anything else? There you go. Thank you. I knew it was, you had the right words. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What does the truth do?
Sets you free.
I'm sorry?
Sets you free.
The truth will set you free. Then said Jesus in John 8, verse 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 15, verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father," again Jesus' words, "even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth coming from God the Father. John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So the Holy Spirit is truth. It comes from God the Father. Jesus Christ said that he, John chapter 1, I have to turn to that to get that wording right, John chapter 1. Didn't look this up this morning, but thought of that just now. Verse 14. Go back to verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 of St. John. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Verse 14. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit is the how does it say in John 15? The Spirit of truth, which precedeth, or it comes from the Father. And then in verse 17 of John 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, in 1 John 5, there is another verse, verse 20. "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So this morning, is truth important? Yes. It is all important. Truth and lies. Is it important that we know the truth or that we believe a lie? Verse 21 of chapter 2, verse 1 John, it says, because you know it and no lie is of the truth. So it's impossible that a lie can be of the truth. Does it matter if we tell a lie? Again, absolutely it does. The Bible is clear that no liar will inherit the kingdom of God here on this earth or in eternity. You know, when I was a young man, when I was just a lad, I had a terrible problem with lying. And it was bad. My dad had passed away when I was 11, but even before then, it was, you know, they were working with me, trying to get me to quit lying, and that was within me. I just lied. But this morning, I praise God for delivering me from that. You know, when he came into my heart, lying had to go. It had to, because lies are not from God. You know, this morning we so often concentrate in teaching our children not to lie, and that is right, that is good. But do we teach them not to believe the lie? You know, we may not lie as such, tell a lie, but do we teach them, do we understand that we cannot believe a lie and still be blessed by God? It's interesting to me this morning that this portion right here, look at verse 26. Now this was John writing by the inspiration of God. And he said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now he did say that there is no lie as of the truth, and when we lie, we are not of the Father. He did say that if we continue in the Son, we shall have the Father. This is the promise that he has promised, even his even eternal life. Then he says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So there are people always trying to seduce other people in believing a lie. And there's a quote that says, the best lies are wrapped around a core of truth. When you think of that statement, who do you have to think about in the scriptures? The best lie is wrapped around a core of truth. And I know I had a time to think about this, and you're just kind of getting into this, but did it matter when Eve believed Satan? Did it matter? What happened?
We all became sinners.
So from Eve all the way down to our present age, and it will continue till Christ comes again, we became sinners. We were born sinners. We were helpless sinners. We were just, because we were human, we became sinners. So did it matter if Eve believed the lie? Did it matter to her and to the rest of the people? Absolutely it did. Does it matter today if we believe a lie? Yes. Again, absolutely it does. Let's remember this truth Can somebody look up Titus chapter 1, verse 2? Anyone? Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And Hebrews 6, 17 and 18. And then John 8:44. All right, let's have Titus chapter 1, verse 2, if you're ready. And read it loud and clear so everybody can hear.
In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began.
All right, God cannot lie. Did you catch that? There is no lie is of the truth. It says, I said, let's remember this truth, that God cannot lie. And Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, read it again.
In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began.
So very clear, the Bible is saying God cannot lie. Hebrews 6, verse 17 and 18. First verse in Titus, it said God cannot lie. And in Hebrews, it says it's impossible for God to lie. All right, now, John 8:44. I'm going to have to turn to that verse. So, God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And on the other side of the coin, it's impossible for Satan to tell the truth, complete truth, 100% truth. He always wraps his lies around the core of truth. You know, he may mix in some truth, but he is a liar and he's the father of lies. So if we have a problem with lies, telling lies, we are obeying Satan. If we believe a lie, we are also listening to Satan. Remember, a couple weeks ago, Kevin was preaching, and he said that Satan, God is not satisfied unless he has all. You remember that statement? And Satan is satisfied with a little bit, but he always wants more. You remember that? Well, Satan this morning is satisfied if we just listen a little bit to him. Accept it. But it's not going to stay there. Satan is going to demand more from us. He's going to bring other lies into our hearts. He's going to, you know, it reminds me of, if this is our heart, our mind, and we give Satan just a little bit of room there. Satan is satisfied with that little bit of area. He's got a stronghold now. He's in our hearts, he's in our minds, and he's almost welcome there. Not that we might welcome him as such, but if we obey him, if we listen to him, if we believe him, then he's got a stronghold in our heart. And then pretty soon, he will put out some other places that he wants to go to. And he just keeps going. And pretty soon he has the whole mind. That's the way Satan works. The Bible asks the question, who is a liar? In 1 John 2. He says, who is a liar? Verse 22 says, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. That deny simply means to contradict, to reject, to disavow, or refuse to believe in the only begotten Son of God. So the liars are those who reject or contradict Christ, and they have not the Father. Now this morning, you know, I'm appalled at some of the lies that some of our people have accepted. The lies of this world, the lies from Satan. And I would like to give you an example. The literal six-day creation. Do we believe in the literal six-day creation? Literally, 24-hour period, six-day creation. Within probably the last five, 6 years, I was reading an article in a monthly magazine published by an Anabaptist conservative group, church group. And the author was writing how in the beginning, God created time and this earth. So far, very good. He stated this thought as I remember. Now, I don't know if I have the exact wording in mind. I mean, completely right. But as I remember, he wrote this. We don't know if the first 6 days were 24 hours or 1,000 years. Using the verse in 2 Peter 3:8 to bolster his argument. And that verse is saying that the day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. And this was in a very conservative Anabaptist monthly magazine. You know, the Bible clearly states the evening and the morning were the first day. There it is. Do we believe it? It doesn't matter if we believe it. Yes, it does matter. But it's still the truth. The evening and the morning were the first day. The teaching or belief that we can't know how long the first 6 days were is like trying to combine Bible teaching and evolution together into one belief system. You know, when we accept one lie, it's not long until we have another area that we believe in. We are opening ourselves to Satan, giving him a stronghold or a foothold in our life that he will surely exploit and build upon, trying to gain more and more ground. Again, Satan is never satisfied with a little bit. He will always try to gain more and more control of our heart until he has destroyed us for all eternity. So, this morning, in light of the literal six-day creation, how many hours in a day today? Anyone? How many hours in a day?
24.
Did it change? No. So, here's your sign. The Bible is, I mean, the day is 24 hours long. It's not shorter and it's not longer. God did not need to go back and rethink his creation. God did not need to go back and do an upgrade or do a download of a different version. I truly believe that the first created day had the same amount of time that the day is today. No more, no less. Going on to warn us a little bit about believing lies, 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 13. We'll turn to that. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 13. Verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they might all might be damned who believe not the truth. Verse 13, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I ask this question again. Does it matter what we believe and accept for truth? Does it matter? Yes, it does matter. You know, I could spend a little bit of time on this flat earth theory. And again, it's amazing the amount of people that are beginning to believe, at least that I'm hearing, that believe in a flat earth. I know a young man that was raised in a godly, conservative Anabaptist home. And after he was married for a number of years, he rejected what his parents taught him. You know, his wife quit wearing her headship veil. They left the church they were part of. Today are completely assimilated into society. Now he opened himself to, I believe he opened himself to believe a lie, that it doesn't matter what he lives like, what he's doing. That doesn't matter. It's just the heart. You know, today, I don't know when I first heard this, but after all this was done and accepted, he also ascribed to the flat earth theory. He believed that the earth is flat. He cannot explain how the system works. He can't explain how the sun can come up in the east and go down in the west, and the rays of the sun are shining upward. He can't explain that, yet he believes it. And recently, I found out that he doesn't even believe in gravity. Do you see what's happening here? He opened himself to untruth, and it's beginning to take over his life. You know, I don't know what the man thinks that gives something weight that it actually falls down. what causes this glass of water to be heavy that it would actually fall if I'd let go? If it ain't gravity, what creates weight? Be careful what you accept for truth this morning. Be careful. It does make a difference. Be sure it's consistent and in agreement with the biblical truth, known truth, and true science. Science is not a bad word. Science is a good word. Science is simply a systematic study of structure and behavior of the physical, natural world through observation, experimentation, and testing of theories against the evidence obtained. So we test the theory, we get evidence, and we observe, we see, and this is just science. We are observing and seeing and experiencing our theories against evidence obtained. You know, when we open our hearts to believing a lie and continue to believe it, it won't be long until we believe other lies. John 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." You know, another lie that we are hearing quite a bit about is this thing of political involvement. We need to go out and vote and get involved in politics so our government is more conservative and reflects values in line with godly values. About 30, 35 years ago, as I remember, it was probably close to election time, maybe just a little bit before election, I had a conversation with a professing Christian, and he asked me if I vote. And I told him I don't vote, but I do pray for our government and that God's will would be done, that God would direct the heart of the king to do his will. And I just remember him standing there and shaking his head. And he said, if all Christians, now this is what he said, if all Christians would go out and vote, we could put a more conservative man in office and make this country a better place. Now, I don't know what you think of that statement, but I think what we cannot do is we cannot take the values of God and push it upon an unregenerate society and expect good results. We can't do that. Michael S. Martin in Pilgrims and Politics made this observation. He said, the great political questions of the cult of culture, moral or not, are not God's greatest focus. The focus of God and his church is to save, through the blood and power of Jesus Christ, souls from the world, to bring them to the church where these moral issues can be resolved in a biblical way. Where people are born again, where people are serving the Lord, people have a new heart, a new mind, a new soul. Not new soul, but a new heart and a new mind. They are new creatures in Christ Jesus. When we have the born-again experience of Jesus Christ in our heart, then and only then are we able to receive the values that God really and truly values. We cannot push that upon a unregenerate society. Attempting to improve society through politics is a misguided effort for believers. Now again, the Christian believes in purifying himself of worldliness rather than trying to reform society. Christians involved in politics inevitably will, number one, foster non-Christian attitudes of compromise, criticizing others, and feelings of arrogance. They have to compromise to be successful. They will criticize others because they themselves can do it better. You know, it also will ruin the Christian's testimony because we identify with the unbeliever. It ties the voters to the government he helps set up. It supports people who rely on carnal force. You know, God is calling his children to build his kingdom in a hostile world, not try to fix the world. So this morning, does it matter what we believe? Does it matter what we believe? I believe it makes all the difference. It matters. You know, truth doesn't cost us anything, but a lie could cost you everything. Let's kneel for prayer.